the SEC does not have the resources to sue every potential altcoin company that is selling cryptocurrency that may be deemed to be a security. The SEC is looking for the big fish, if you will, to send the market a message. And in this case with Ripple, no doubt, is that message.
Welcome to Cut to the Chase, where we talk about compelling legal, regulatory, and public interest information and news. Your host is Greg Goldfarb, an attorney, entrepreneur, investor, and activist.
Everyone and their grandmother and their Uber driver is talking about Bitcoin, the original cryptocurrency, but there are thousands of alt currencies, altcoins. So there are alternative currencies to Bitcoin. And one of these was recently sued by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And for today's feature, we are going to bring David Chase. Mr. Chase is a securities lawyer down in South Florida. He's practiced law for over 28 years, worked at Greenberg Traurig. Then he moved on to the United States Security and Exchange Commission, where he worked for a few years, ending up as the senior counsel. He's also worked with the United States Attorney's Office in their Economic Crimes Division. Mr. Chase represents not only brokers, but also individuals who have had problems with their investments. So let's cut to the chase. Welcome, David Chase.
Thank you, Mr. Goldfarb.
I hope all is well. Can you go into the lawsuit that the Securities and Exchange Commission filed? I believe it was a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was just a relatively few days ago, right before the departure of the commissioner of the SEC, Commissioner Clayton. So it was his kind of, I think, parting Christmas gift, they said, to Ripple. The Securities and Exchange Commission, as we all know, is the independent federal civil law enforcement agency that is, its mission is to protect investors and regulate the financial market. The SEC sued Ripple, alleging that it, along with two individuals, I believe it's CEO and chairman, engaged in the unregistered distribution or sale of securities. In essence, what the SEC claimed was that the Ripple crypto, XRP, as offered, marketed, and sold, was a security as a matter of law. And thus, it needed to be registered or exempt from registration prior to its sale. And the SEC filed this case in the Southern District of New York, essentially alleging that Ripple, over the last number of years, sold over $1.3 billion of its cryptocurrency, XRP, which is essentially a token, as I understand, that facilitates payments, or that's what its claimed intended use is. The two individuals were sued individually for aiding and abetting Ripple's sale of unregistered securities, in this case, the XRP unit. And the SEC is looking for an injunction to prohibit the company and the individuals from continuing to sell what it alleges is an unregistered security, as well as disgorgement, which is any profits or enrichment that the individuals received. I think in this particular case, the two individuals, the CEO and chairman, are alleged to have received tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from their sale of XRP, as well as civil penalties. What's interesting in this case, though, the SEC did not allege fraud. There's no allegation that the company or its officers engaged in any fraudulent practices, made any misrepresentations or omissions of material fact. The case solely is based upon a technical registration violation. Although SEC views it as very important, there is no fraud allegation involved in this case.
All right, so let me make sure I've got my understanding up to date as to what you're saying. Ripple is the company, and they issue a cryptocurrency called XRP.
Correct.
Okay, and so like the ordinary any investor that wants to buy XRP can buy XRP. Sort of like you could buy Apple stock or Alphabet stock or whatever.
Yeah, there are different platforms on which XRP was trading. And although the cryptocurrency or token is not as most people think of a stock, as you suggest, like, you know, they want to buy some Apple, right? Or IBM. You go to your stockbroker or online to TD Ameritrade or what have you, and you buy 100 shares of Apple. These, to step back, and this is important for context and understanding the Ripple case, the SEC has been grappling with, trying to get its arms around the whole notion of whether these cryptocurrencies are securities, okay, investment contracts under the law and thus subject to their jurisdiction, or not. Okay, that's the threshold legal issue. Is, for example, this XRP token issued, okay, or sold by Ripple a security or investment contract? And that will be a critical issue in this case.
Why, I could have been an investor in XRP. I could have bought XRP. And why do I care whether it's a security or not? Should I even be concerned about that?
From an investor perspective, one can still buy, as I understand it, XRP, although after the lawsuit, several platforms have dropped XRP, from what I understand, because of the SEC lawsuit. I will tell you, so from an investor's perspective, you can still buy it and sell it. From the SEC's perspective, the reason why it's important if it's deemed to be a security, because if it's deemed to be a security, it needs to be registered. The security has to be registered with the SEC or exempt from registration. And if it's registered, that then requires the company, in this case Ripple, assuming they registered XRP with the SEC as a security, Ripple would then have had to provide certain basic material financial information about the company and about the sales of XRP and other critical information that the SEC views as critical for investors to intelligently make a decision about whether they want to buy or sell or hold the security. And so, the SEC alleged in this case is because Ripple failed to register XRP as security, as the SEC alleged, it effectively denied the investing public in the marketplace critical information about this investment contract, this security, if you will. So that is the significance from the SEC's perspective of why registering a stock is so critical and important.
So how will the court determine whether XRP is a security?
It's a great question. The kind of seminal case that addresses the question of whether a particular investment is a security. Not all investments are securities, okay? If you wanted to, buy a condo, right, to invest in, all right, and somebody wanted to sell you a condo, that's not a security, okay? The determination of whether an investment or financial product constitutes a security was decided many, many years ago by the Supreme Court in SEC v. Howie. And that case dealt with whether or not fractionalized interests in orange groves, I think the groves were right near where, was it Disney World today is in Orlando, okay, back, many, many years ago, whether or not that offering of interest in these orange groves was a security. And the Howie test, which is designed to be extremely flexible, that's what the Supreme Court said, to capture all the different forms and variations and creativity of fraudsters who are going to design very clever ways to structure products to avoid the SEC registration requirement. So it's a flexible approach. And basically the Howie test is whether or not it's an investment into a common enterprise where the profits, okay, or revenues are generated from the efforts and expertise of others. In other words, if it's a passive investment, okay, at its core. And so utilizing the Howey test, the SEC has alleged and courts have found that these cryptocurrencies, okay, depending upon how they're marketed and sold and what their utility really is, may constitute securities under the Howey decision. And one of the critical aspects that the courts will look to and what the SEC alleged in its complaint against Ripple is how it's marketed, okay, how it's presented to the investing public. And if the utility of the token, meaning the underlying purpose, is the only facet that's talked about, like it's going to be a terrific way to facilitate international payments or domestic payments, for example, and there's no discussion about the possible price appreciation, it's harder to argue that it's being marketed as a security. But in this case, the SEC alleged that Ripple was touting and marketing the potential price appreciation, okay, and an ability to essentially make money by a rise in the XRP crypto price. So that coupled with the fact that investors who buy it, who really don't contribute anything to whether it succeeds or not, but rely upon the expertise of Ripple to make it a success and for it to rise in value, among other factors, the SEC alleged that under the Howey test, XRP was in fact a security or investment contract.
So I want to go back to the earlier part of the discussion where you were talking about the lawsuit and what the SEC essentially was asking for. In legal world, we call it the relief. And you mentioned injunctive relief and all that. Does their case essentially incorporate an investor's rights as well? So what I understand, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is because I saw that the price of XRP went down. I mean, it plummeted after this lawsuit. So if I were to be an owner of XRP, I would have been very upset. And I guess my question is, does this lawsuit by the SEC incorporate whatever claims I would have? Or should I, as an investor, call someone like yourself to, you know, discuss my, you know, my what I should do?
Yeah, it's a great question. The answer is it the SEC's lawsuit does not encapsulate or include relief for individual investors per se. The SEC, you know, is an independent federal law enforcement agency. It sues to enforce, you know, the securities laws and statutes. Investors would have to bring their own claim. And in fact, I think I read that there was a prior, and I could be wrong on this, class action filed against Ripple under the similar or same theory that the SEC recently sued under, i.e. that the XRP is a security and they were selling it without registration or for it being exempt from registration. But investors would have to bring their own independent claims. And then, you know, it also gets a little bit messy because I'm assuming Ripple would then argue that, look, any price decline was not our fault. I'm just speculating, but was only a result of the SEC taking this action, which still, at the end of the day, it's only allegations at this point. No court has ruled on the propriety or correctness of the SEC's allegations or claims, and that it was only but for the bad publicity and the SEC's action that the price of Bitcoin fell, which is being exacerbated by the market reaction and market participants' reactions by the delisting of their crypto from various platforms, et cetera.
Most litigation that I've either been involved in myself or that I've heard about, read about, statistics show that 90% or more of the lawsuits that are filed settle out of court. There's no final decision by the court. Do you see that happening here? It just seems like, you know, an all or nothing type of an issue for the SEC.
I would be surprised if the statistics in terms of settlement, generally speaking, for litigation was not consistent with the SEC's rate of settlement for their cases. Settlement may even be higher in the SEC context just because you're battling the government, which has its own reputational issues, as well as just the costs of taking on the government. So, most SEC litigated cases will ultimately settle before being tried. This one, it's hard to say, but Ripple has, from what I understand, publicly come out and vowed to fight it, which is not unusual. A lot of companies initially, when the complaint is filed, vow to take it to trial and contest the charges only later to settle. But, they're very well funded, presumably. They've raised a lot of money. The individual defendants have sold a lot of XRP and have presumably a huge war chest to fight this. I tend to think that this case, if it's going to settle, will settle only after Ripple and its principals take a shot at moving to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction on the grounds that XRP is not a security. Okay, doesn't meet the criteria of the Howey test, is actually a token with utility and use, and does not meet the necessary criteria. Because if Ripple succeeds on that motion, the case is over. So of course it's subject to appeal, but it's a threshold jurisdictional issue. That's a fancy way of saying if they beat the SEC on this issue, the SEC, there's no jurisdiction. The SEC cannot pursue the case unless and until they can prove it's a security. So I can't imagine any settlement discussions until that motion is heard and ruled upon.
All right, last topic. I did a little research. I started to count up all the altcoins and I stopped counting after about 995. It appears that there's thousands of altcoins. And from what I understand, maybe none of them, including Bitcoin, have been either voluntarily went through the securities registration process or have been deemed a security or something to that effect. Is this lawsuit, we're going to cut to the chase right now, is this lawsuit by the SEC the beginning of a trend towards going after all these altcoins and the cryptocurrency? Is it possible that the SEC is going to be picking winners and losers in this space?
Yeah, in one sense, this is nothing new, Greg. I mean, the SEC has been bringing crypto cases for a while now. The SEC has limited resources and is thus going to choose the cases it pursues in the cryptocurrency arena very carefully. They're going to look to bring those cases that provide the biggest bang for the buck, if you will, in terms of sending a message to the industry, the crypto industry, about its views, the SEC views, on the necessity of registering the crypto, currency if it's deemed to be a security. The SEC does not have the resources to sue every potential altcoin company that is, selling cryptocurrency that may be deemed to be a security. The SEC is looking for the big fish, if you will, to send the market a message. And in this case with Ripple, no doubt, is that message. I will say this, though, and this was very interesting to read in the SEC's complaint. The SEC referenced what appear to be attorney-client communications, legal advice. I assume maybe Ripple waived privilege, okay? I'm assuming, because the SEC makes reference to communications Ripple had with its legal counsel that was presumably hired to opine, okay, to give advice on whether or not the XRP token was a security. And essentially what the SEC alleged in its complaint is that the lawyers for Ripple suggested that there was a risk, okay, that it could be deemed to be a security, assuming, for example, it was marketed as a security with the chance for price appreciation, just like any other stock, for example. And that notwithstanding this advice and their knowledge of the risks, and interestingly, the now chairman, I think it's Christian Larsen, who's one of the two defendants, was actually, as alleged in the SEC complaint, previously sued by the SEC, or at least a company for which he held the position of CEO back in 2008, for an unregistered sale of securities, the same charge that he's facing now 12 years later. So to some extent, I think what's going on here is the SEC was bothered by the enormity of the amount of XRP sold, $1.3 billion over numerous years, but was also probably bothered by the fact that these officers were on notice of the risks, but took the risk anyways because of the huge financial payout that was potentially involved, and the fact that at least one of the officers had a prior run-in with the SEC on the very same issue. And thus, from the SEC's mindset, I've worked there, I've defended cases for 20 years now, they almost view it as, he's a recidivist, meaning he's back at it again and should have known better. So I think those are also factors that drove this Ripple case, in my opinion.
Well, listen, I thank you very much. It was a fascinating discussion, and we're going to have to bring you back for either updates on this case or some other. It sounds like the SEC is a very active agency and bringing forward legal issues, regulatory issues, which are interesting. I know people think that the law is boring and all that, but Mr. Chase, you have shown us that is not the case. So I hope you have a good day, and thank you for appearing on the show today.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for naming your show after me.
Yes, the royalty check will not be in the mail.
I would not expect anything less.
That's all for this episode of Cut to the Chase. But before you go, will you open up your podcast app and give us a 5-star review? You can also leave a comment about what you liked most or other topics you'd like us to cover. And please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming shows. Thanks, everybody. Be safe out there.